We present Brothers-in-Law, a radio adaptation by Richard Waring of the television series, which was based on the original book by Henry Cecil, starring Richard Briers with Richard Waring and John Glyn Jones. Episode 6, Special Damages, featuring this week's special guest, Patrick Cargill.
Have you had enough, Sally?
Enough? Oh, good heavens. I haven't finished my spare ribs and there's still masses of rice. Won't you?
More rice? Sooner you than me.
Why?
What, putting on weight? A man gets a spare tire. A girl acquires curves.
Do you think I need curves?
Not from where I'm sitting, you don't. This isn't a straight line anywhere.
Gotcha.
Here you are, have a finished, sir.
Oh, thank you. Could we have the bill, please?
Saturday, sir.
Look, I am right. It is tomorrow you're in court with another case.
Tomorrow it is. Appearing for the plaintiff, your learned friend, Mr. Roger Thursby, science in court.
Then what's happened? What's all this gay abandon the night before a case? Jen, by now, you're up to your ears in legal documents, black coffee and chewed fingernails.
I know. It's lovely, isn't it?
Roger, they've called the case off.
They haven't called the case off at all. It's on. It's on the Bexford County Court. There's a nice train ride from town, just long enough to do a crossword.
What kind of a case can it be if you're going to do a crossword on the way to court? They generally have to stow you in the guard van because you want to plow through 18 law books.
Uh-huh. I'll tell you what kind of case it is, Sally. It's that rare and wonderful thing, a cast-iron, watertight, stone bonk. Certainty.
What? But you told me yourself there's no such thing in law as a cast-iron certainty.
Well, it's turned up. Even to a layman, there can be no area of dispute.
Convince me.
Very well, Your Honor. I'm appearing on behalf of a street trader, a bloke who sells china and glass from a stall in Market Street. Now, on Thursday, the 6th of January last, a lorry ran into his stall and sent the china and glass flying. He's claiming £40 of the damages from the lorry driver's father.
Well, go on.
Well, that's all there is. What can they say? Look, they say this is Market Street, you see, running along the tablecloth, see? You got it right. Now, it looks like Market Street, actually, with all the stuff to fill up with chopsticks. Now, this sugar bowl, see, represents my client's stall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the sugar is all my client's china and glass ornaments, right?
Yes.
Now, the coffee pot's a lorry, see?
Yes.
That's a big lorry.
Mm-hmm.
Very big. Right. You watching it? Right.
Yes.
Here she comes down the street, and bash! Oh. Have I broken the sugar bowl?
No.
Oh, good.
Go on.
Where was I?
Bash.
That's right, bash. Now, bang goes 40 quid worth of china and Alsatians and coloured wall plaques of Balmoral Castle. Right. Now, whose fault is it?
The lorry driver's, I suppose.
What do you mean, you suppose? How can it be anybody else's? The stall is stationary. The lorry hit it.
Well, perhaps he couldn't help hitting it. Perhaps his brakes failed or he swerved to avoid an old lady.
But he didn't. After the noise had died down, he came over to the stall holder and in front of everybody said, "Sorry, mate, my fault. I misjudged the distance."
Really? Well, if it's as clear-cut as that, I don't see why the other side are bothering to fight the case.
Neither do I, frankly. And it honestly is as clear-cut as that. I mean, they might be disputing the amount of damages claimed, I suppose, but we're covered even there. The stallholder's got bills and invoices. You can't argue with a bill.
Your bill, sir.
Oh. Thank you. Yes, thank you. Good Lord, we better make tracks. I've got to catch the 8:40 to Bexford tomorrow morning. Henry's giving me a lift to the station, by the way. Now, let's see how much it... Oh, my.
You want any help?
What? No. I'll manage somehow. Well, I just hope it isn't true what they say about Chinese meals.
What?
In an hour's time, you feel hungry again. Oh, Lord. Oh, morning, Henry.
Good Lord, aren't you ready?
Yeah, just a spot more packing.
Packing? But you're coming back straight after the case. You don't need to take the bathroom scales.
Hey. Look, Henry, you never know. The case might drag on. I wouldn't like to have to spend the night in Bexford without,
Without what?
Well, my pyjamas.
Pyjamas? Couldn't you go to bed in the altogether?
Now, look, don't delay me, Henry.
Oh, no, of course not. Hotel might catch fire, mightn't it? We couldn't have Roger Thursby, barrister, standing on the smoking windowsill, clad only in a hand towel.
Henry, please.
Yeah, how about these pyjamas, the ones with a mandarin neck? They'd look good on a smoking windowsill.
Thank you. I have already packed my pyjamas.
Only one pair?
What?
Well, surely you always change for breakfast. Anything else you need?
I can manage, thanks.
How are you off for pants?
I've packed a couple of pairs.
Two pairs? Oh, yes, thick and thin, I suppose, in case there's a cold snap.
Look, if you want... if you want to really help me, you get my toothbrush and toothpaste from the bathroom, will you?
Certainly. Aha! Now I know why you cut such a self-assured figure these days.
What?
You've got the ring of confidence. Anything else you'd like while I'm out here?
No, thank you, no.
Baby powder? Mickey Mouse flannel?
You're in a very skittish mood this morning.
Yes, and like you, I have a very good reason.
Oh?
Well, you're on an easy wicket. I was clean bowled yesterday, so the waiting's over.
Oh, your case?
Mm, I was up against Chatfield, remember? Hugh Chatfield, who uses words like a rapier and causes equally painful incisions.
Yes, I was sorry to hear you lost.
I didn't so much lose as expire. Good Lord, he's a clever fellow. He led me right up the garden path, and when I got to the end of it, he made me into a bonfire. 16 hours later, I'm still smouldering.
Poor old Henry.
Yes, I thought of you yesterday, you with your open and shut case. Well, come on, let's get you to the station so that you can open and shut it.
Right.
Right.
There you are, Judge Harcourt. Nice empty compartment.
Yes, thank you.
I'll just put your case on the rack. It's heavier this week, Judge.
Really?
If I didn't know who you were, I might think you had a body in there. Oh, there you are, sir. And the fog's cleared, so you should be at Bexford Court on time. Wouldn't do for the judge to be late, would it?
Wouldn't do at all, no. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Judge. Buffet car that way if you want it, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, excuse me, do you know how many stops it is to Bexford? I mustn't miss it.
It's 3. I see you don't miss it. I'm getting out there myself.
Oh, thanks so much. Oh, you wouldn't happen to know how far it is from the station to the county court?
Oh, not far. I always walk it.
Walk it? Oh, I see. You're on a case there as well, eh?
I'm on several.
Really? Lucky beggar. I've only got one. I say, you don't happen to be against me, do you?
That rather depends.
I'm in Coles v. Trotter for the plaintiff.
Well, I'm not defending. Have you been practicing long?
Good Lord, no, I'm only just out of the egg. Actually, I'm a pupil of Kendall Grimes, you know. This is only my 4th case. Frankly, I think I only got it because it's a dead cert.
A dead cert? Really?
Well, they say there's no such thing in law, don't they? But I promise you, if I were up against Judge Jibbers himself this morning, I'd still be confident.
Well, now.
Talking of judges, if you're up at Bexford often, perhaps you'd give me a line on the judge there. What's he like, would you say?
What's he like? Well, opinions differ. I'd say he's like most judges. If you win your case, he's excellent. If you lose it, he's a doddering old idiot.
Ah, true. But, no, I meant, what's he like when you're on your feet in front of him? See, all the ones I seem to run up against have been right old so-and-sos.
I personally wouldn't describe this one as a right so-and-so, but perhaps I'm a little prejudiced. I like the man.
Really? Well, confidentially, between you and me, you know, the word in Chambers is he's not so hot on the old law. I mean, mind you, he's very fair, of course. Given that he's fair. But you have to put in on a plate for him.
That's very interesting. One can only hope you've got your plate full well prepared. Well, it's time for my coffee. Will you join me?
I don't think I promised myself the crossword.
Ah.
Well, see you in court.
That's right.
Charming man. Now, where are we? Let's have a go at this now. Now, what's it say? Didst thou blank blank with a greenwood nymph? it's from Dryden. 15 letters, 11 letters. Blank blank with a greenwood nymph.
Excuse me, but aren't you Roger Thursby?
Yes, sir. You're Chatfield, aren't you? Hugh Chatfield.
That's right, yes, sir.
How do you do?
Saw you last in Queen's Bench 3 when you were note-taking for Grimes.
Yes, I thought we'd won till you started taking our police sergeant apart. Oh, and congratulations, by the way, on that libel result yesterday. I was talking about it to poor old Henry Brago this morning.
Yes. Yes, I was lucky with that one.
Lucky? No, it was great. There must be something pretty big on at Bexford to bring you down.
Coles v. Trotter.
Oh, Coles v. Trotter. You mean I'm up against you?
Are you? Oh, well. You'll win.
Well, I do think I'm on a jolly good wicket.
Oh, yes, yes. Our case is hopeless. Can't think why they've defended it. Fond of lawyers, I suppose. Well, there's no understanding the minds of big insurance companies. Of course, they may have hoped they'd get some inexperienced bloke against them who'd botch the job.
Oh.
Yeah, they can't have known it to be you.
I say, do you mind if I ask you something?
No, what's that?
Well, does a chap like you, I mean, you know, a chap of your eminence, did you still mind losing a case? I mean, you know, this case, for instance, I mean, we both know it's hopeless for you, but the prospect of losing, it didn't seem to upset you at all. I should hate the idea.
Yeah, well, if a case is a dead loser from the start, you're never discredited when it's lost. If by some miracle you win it, well, you're looked on as a ruddy marvel.
I see.
Also, there are two kinds of barristers. One always says to his opponent, I'm bound to win. The other kind says just the opposite. Whatever my case is, I always tell the other chap it's hopeless and I haven't a chance of winning. That seems to take the wind out of your opponent's sails. He knows you probably don't mean it, but it stops him throwing his weight about. You see?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. But, Chappiel, do you mean you don't think you've got a hopeless case today?
Good Lord, look at the time. I'm going to miss the coffee if I'm not careful. Hey, bye, Thursday. See you in court.
Yes.
Mr. Thursby?
Yes?
Watson, solicitor for Coles.
Oh, yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I just wanted to make sure you had everything you wanted.
Oh, yes, thank you. Your instructions are very clear.
I'm very surprised they brought Mr. Chapfield down for this. Haven't seen him in a county court for some time. He's very good. It's rather worrying. You still feel quite happy about it, Mr. Thursby?
Well, why not? It doesn't alter my case.
No, I expect he's here because they thought the damages were inflated.
Had he seen our fellow's bills and invoices?
I showed them to them just now. They were a bit shaken.
Well, that's all they were probably trying to do, knock the damages down. They certainly can't disprove liability. I say, what's this judge like?
Oh, nice fellow. Not much of a lawyer, but quite a technical old boy.
Oh.
Court will rise.
It's Judge Harcourt. You've not been before him before.
No, no.
Here he comes. Don't be misled by his mild appearance.
No, I certainly... That's Judge Harcourt?
Yes, indeed. Sit down, Mr. Thursby.
What?
Everybody else is sitting.
Oh,
Mr. Thursby, the most extraordinary thing. I would have sworn Judge Harcourt looked at you and winked.
Now, let's see what's in the list. Oh, Mr. Chatfield. What are you in?
Coles v. Trotter, Your Honor. Mr. Thursby is against me.
Yes, I know. How long will it take?
No, it's not a long case, Your Honor. I don't know what my learned friend thinks, but about an hour, I should say.
What would you say, Mr. Thursby?
Well, I don't know whether my learned friend still wants to dispute the amount of the damages.
Oh, no. No, not now we've seen the bills. No, I can't.
Well, then I shouldn't think it would even take an hour, Your Honor.
Yes. Well, my learned friend is perfectly right. As always.
I see. Well, if it's not going to take long, we can have it now. Call the case, please.
Coles v. Trotter.
May it please, Your Honor, in this case, the plaintiff claims damages against the defendants for knocking down his stall with one of their lorries and damaging his goods. As Your Honor has heard, the damages are now agreed at £40, 3 shillings, and 5 pence. I'll call Mr. Coles.
Take the book in your right hand.
At Thursby, old fellow.
Yes, Chaffield?
Do lead if you want to. You know, these chaps are apt to dry up when they get into the box.
Oh, thanks awfully.
Well, they know exactly what they're going to say, but the moment they get into the limelight, mine goes blank. Like the victim's old schoolmaster on This Is Your Life.
Oh, yes.
Mind if I have a glance at your paper?
Please do. Please. Okay. Help, sir. Here's Mr. Coles. Now, Mr. George Coles. Do you own a stall which you keep on Thursdays in Market Street and where you sell articles of china and glass?
Yes, sir. Alabaster.
I beg your pardon?
And articles of alabaster.
Oh, sorry, yes. Now, Mr. Cole, do you remember the 6th of January last?
Do I? Don't ask.
But he has to ask. And you have to answer.
I did answer. I said I did remember.
Carry on, Mr. Thursby.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, Mr. Coles, what happened on that day?
I've never seen nothing like it in all my life. I mean, bang, from nowhere. Not 2 minutes I'd left the store, not 2 minutes. I'd just gone to have a word with Harry Silver, 2 stores up, cosmetics and chemist requisites. I was standing there chatting, I was. Then suddenly, wallop! Bang, crash! I nearly had a seizure. I said to myself, no, sorry, Mr. Coles, please, sorry, no, I'm afraid we can't have what you said to yourself.
No. I don't mind, no. Let's hear what he said to himself.
But my learned friend is very cooperative.
Don't be misled by it, Mr. Thursby. He's most dangerous when he's most cooperative.
Yes, I am obliged, Your Honor, yes. Well, Mr. Coles, what did you say to yourself?
I said, stone a bleeding crows, oh, sir. I said, that's me. And I turned around and, oh, dear, oh, look, it was. There, shoved halfway through the stall of aggregate lorry.
Now, did you return to your stall?
Did I return to my stall, he asked. Well? Did you return to your stall?
Of course I returned to my stall. Now, did you take the registration number of the lorry?
Yes. Well, I did take it. But what I writ it down on, and where I put what I writ it down on, well, I just don't recollect. Put yourself in my position.
Oh, well I'll just speak to Mr. Watson.
It's all right. We admit it was one of my client's lorries.
But that is very good of my learned friend.
Not at all.
Watch him, Mr. Thursby.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, what did you do then, Mr. Gold?
I went up to the lorry driver and I said, you silly bum.
You want the exact language?
Is it material, Mr. Thursby?
Not as far as I'm concerned, Your Honor.
Nor me.
I'd be very much obliged, Mr. Gold, if you just give us the sense of what you said.
Well, I said, what shall I say? I chided him. For his clumsiness. Then I asked him how it happened.
And he said?
Oh, he admitted straight out.
Just one moment, Mr. Coles. Your Honor, the lorry driver was not the defendant's agent to make admissions.
Was not what?
Perhaps you would amplify that, Mr. Chatfield.
If Your Honor pleases. The lorry driver was employed by the lorry owners simply to drive the lorry. His employers, the defendants in this case, have not admitted liability. And their lorry driver had no authorization to admit liability on their behalf. And now, does my learned friend see?
Oh, yes. Of course. Thank you.
Just trying to keep it all tidy, that's all. Perhaps you'd reciprocate my cooperation by withdrawing the question.
Oh, of course. Mr. Coles, please don't say what the lorry driver said when you confronted him. Just tell us what happened after that.
Well, a couple of coppers turned up and a fat one helped me to pick up some of the broken china. Well, that was that. I went home. 5 days trading I had.
And altogether you lost £40, 3 shillings and fivepence?
Yeah, and it don't grow on trees.
No. Thank you, Mr. Coles.
No questions, Mr. Coles.
No questions?
Thank you, Mr. Coles.
Oh, that is my case, Your Honor.
Mr. Chatfield?
I call no evidence, my lord.
I see. Mr. Thursby?
Well, Your Honor, isn't it for the defense to address you first?
Not if he's called no evidence. That puts you in first.
Oh.
Look it up in the train going back.
If Your Honor pleases. Well, Your Honor, I ask for judgment for £40, 3 shillings and fivepence. The damages are admitted. The accident was clearly the defendant's fault. In fact, the lorry driver himself said...
No, Mr. Thursby, I can't have that. What the lorry driver said could not, by your own admission, be brought out in evidence.
I'm obliged to you. Well, then my case is that the accident was plainly the defendant's fault, and I ask for the admitted damages.
Thank you, Mr. Thursby. No one can say you've wasted any words. Mr. Chatfield?
I won't waste any words either, Your Honor. I submit that the case has not been proved. Your Honor, I submit that it is not enough for my learned friend to say it was plainly the defendant's fault. To succeed in his claim, he must prove it. He must prove that the lorry driver was negligent. Now, what has he proved? Only that there was an accident. An accident involving the lorry striking a stall. Now, Your Honor, this is my submission. If you choose to place a stall on a roadway, it is possible for a vehicle to run into that stall without the lorry driver being at all negligent. The stall holder could be to blame. He set up a traffic hazard. Put it this way. Had the stall been on the pavement when it was struck by the lorry, then the lorry, on the face of it, would have been clearly at fault. It would have been on a place it had no right to be.
But this lorry had a right to be on the roadway. And a stall placed in that roadway had a right to expect accidents. Because one happened, that does not automatically prove... It does not automatically prove negligence on the part of the driver. That is the point, Your Honor, on which I ask you to find for the defendants.
I think it's a good point, Mr. Chatfield. As negligence has not been proved, I give judgment for the defendants. Unless Mr. Thursday can make me change my mind.
Your Honor.
Yes, Mr. Thursday?
Surely if the driver admitted that he...
Mr. Thursday, that evidence was never given.
But surely...
Mr. Thursday, I know some cases are very difficult, and I appreciate you not being very long at the bar. But you must learn that when your ship is sunk, go down with dignity and resignation. Now then, as apparently you've got nothing to urge against Mr. Chatfield's submission... No? No, well, then I give judgment for the defendants.
With costs on scale 3, Your Honor?
Yes. I shall rise for a few minutes.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Thursby. I seem to have finished your crossword.
Mr. Thursby, what happened? When do I get the money?
Mr. Coles, I feel I owe you an apology.
You should have seen that poor devil, Henry. He looked as though the lorry had hit him, not his stall.
Oh, here, drink your tea and don't talk like a Charlie. Every lawyer who lost an easy case went and resigned from the bar. The Old Bailey would be a bowling alley by now.
But when I think of that poor, unfortunate client of mine, here's a lorry, runs into his stall, and all he gets is the privilege of paying the cost.
That's it. You have a nice wallow.
But suppose the stall had been a car. If you run into a stationary car, it's your fault.
Well, why didn't you say that to the judge?
I did. No, you're quite right, I didn't. I just stood there pawing the air. What a right crafty flanker that chap you put, you know. Talking as though it made all the difference because the stall wasn't on the pavement. If a thing's stationary, it's stationary.
There's no doubt about it. Chatfield's a first-rate man.
That's right. Go on, stick up for him. If it had only occurred to me that all I needed was to force in the lorry driver's evidence, I'd have had him on toast. No, he got me completely wrong.
He worked it beautifully, just beautifully.
But why don't you start a fan club for him? You know what disturbs me as much as anything? You know what? Look at all this from the stallholder's point of view. It just looks as though the law has made nonsense out of common sense.
Mr. Thursby?
Yes, sir.
I've got something to cheer you up. I've worked a small miracle. It's on in a month's time.
What is?
Your appeal, Coles v. Trotter. Gone in the court of appeal in a month. They're short of work. Good luck with it.
But anyway, I don't know anything about an appeal.
No, well, while you were drafting your letter of resignation from the bar, I went in and had a chat with your respected master, told him all the pathetic details of your tragic experience. And as soon as he got over laughing, he called Alec in.
Thanks, Bimmy, dear chap. We'll show him, eh? We'll make Master Chatfield sorry he started that one. Cheeky fella.
That is my fault entirely, Grimes. If I'd only said to the judge that unless there's some emergency, if you hit a stationary object in the street, you must be liable.
That's self-evident, my dear fellow, when we go raise ipsa loquitur. Your judge should have known that. We will show him in the Court of Appeal, my dear fella. Can't have me pupils bashed about in county courts, never do. We'll show him.
Do you gather from that he's going to do the appeal?
Well, nothing personal, but I hardly think the Coles' solicitor would fancy your chances up against three Lord Justices. You just leave it to Grimes now. He'll show, my dear fellow. He'll show.
Mr. Grimes?
Lord... I appear in this case for the appellant, plaintiff in the action, with my learned friend Mr. Thursby, who appeared in the court below. The respondents are represented by my learned friend Mr. Chatfield. Quite shortly, my lords, the facts of the case are these. On January the 6th last, a lorry belonging to the respondents and driven by their servant ran into the appellant's stall on the roadway of Market Street, Bexford, causing damage to the value of £40, 3 shillings and 5 pence. My lords... The learned judge accepted an argument that if a moving vehicle runs into a stationary object, the driver of the moving vehicle doesn't have to explain why he has done so.
What did the learned judge say in his judgment?
Just, I give judgment for the defendants. 5 words, my lord.
Actually, 6.
Now, my lord...
All right, Mr. Grimes. Thank you, my lord.
But Grimes, isn't he even going to hear your argument?
Nope.
But that's monstrous. I spent weeks preparing it, looking up all the references.
Yes, yes, no, not to worry, my dear fellow. We've got the wheels turning and they're going into reverse.
Now, Mr. Chatfield, how on earth can you support this judgment?
Well, my lord.
What astonishes me is that the learned judge was misled for one moment by what I'm bound to call your meretricious argument.
I wouldn't even call it meretricious. It has no attraction whatever.
Well, my lord.
If you can run into a stationary stall and don't have to explain why, the law is not just an ass. It requires certifying.
Well, my lords,
what the unfortunate plaintiff must have thought of the law when he lost his case, I'm horrified to think. I hope he's in court to hear our views.
Yes, my lord, I'm over here.
Silence, silence.
I'm very glad Mr. Coles is here. He nearly suffered an injustice, and I'm pleased to think he can hear us say so.
Mr. Chatfield, do you really think you can usefully add anything?
Well, my lords, all I've said so far is... Well, my lords.
For my part, Mr. Chatfield, if those words are intended to support this judgment, I think they are three words too many.
I rather agree, my lord.
The appeal will be allowed with costs here and in the court below. The plaintiff will have judgment for £40, 3 shillings and 5 pence with costs, scale 3.
My lord?
Mr. Thursby.
What about some interest, my lord? But the plaintiff has been kept out of his money for at least 4 months.
Yes, why not? Mr. Chatfield?
Well, my lord...
For my part, I think interest should be awarded.
I agree.
I also agree.
Well, Thursby, that'll teach me not to make clever points in the county court.
Well, let's hope he's taught me how to deal with them.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Chatfield.
You're a blooming marvel, Mr. Thursby. Interest on the money and all. Talk about cunning. Loses in the county court so that when he appeals, he gets the interest as well. Talk about foxy.
Now, Mr. Coles, please. No, I can't let you think that. I can't. I must be honest with you. I lost the case in the county court only because of my sheer incompetence.
Oh.
Ah, well, now, that is honest. And I respect that. No, I do. I really do. In fact, in return, I'm going to be honest with you.
What do you mean?
40,000 of the damages? No, bloody, that only cost me £7.
In that episode of Brothers in Law, the parts were played as follows. Roger Thursby, Richard Briers, Henry Blagrove, Richard Waring, Grimes, John Glenn Jones, Sally Ann Davis, Chatfield, Patrick Cargill, Coles, James Beck, Judge Harcourt, Basil Dignam. Other parts were played by Alan Barry, Malcolm Hayes and Frederick Treves. Special Damages was written by Frank Muir and Dennis Morton and adapted for radio by Richard Waring. The program was produced by David Hatch.